الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وقال الله تبارك وتعالى ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن صدق الله العظيم Most respected elders, friends, respected mu'takifin, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to a very great bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala upon this ummah. And that is the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a Rasul for us. Allah sent him as a guide for us. We know that, but very seldom we ponder and we reflect on it being a great bounty upon Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What if Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala did not send Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us? We were created as human beings and we did not have a Rasul like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What our life would have been? We wouldn't have had the Quran. We wouldn't have had the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We would not have that quality of life that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought for us. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to this as a very great bounty upon us. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to three missions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yatlu alayhim ayati. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one mission is to recite the Quran Kareem and through the recitation of the Quran Kareem to propagate the religion of Islam. That is known as da'wat and tabligh. The second, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to cleanse and to purify the people. And the third, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, to teach and to educate the people. These are the three missions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Each mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is most important. Da'wat al-tabliq is important. If a person knows the message of Deen and Islam, he does not propagate it, Islam will not spread. That was the mission of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he involved the Sahaba in this mission. Tazkiyah is most important. A person can be engaged in da'wat al-tabliq, but if his inside is not corrected, it will negatively impact on the work of da'wat al-tabliq. And the third is وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. A person can be engaged in da'wat and tabligh. A person can focus on cleansing himself internally, but if he's not educated, he does not know how to perform his salah. He does not know how to make wudu. He does not know the various ordains of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. How is he going to obey Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? Each one of the three missions of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are equally important, and each mission complements the other mission. If a person is engaged in da'wat and tabligh, propagating the deen of Islam, but at the same time, he focuses on his tazkiyah, he cleanses himself, purifies himself. Or if a person educates himself, studies the Quran, studies the ahadith, then this tazkiyah and education will enhance his work in da'wat and tabligh. Likewise, if a person is focusing on tazkiyah, and what we know in our term, like the khanka, in the field of suluk and tasawuf, he's focusing on that. He's trying to rid himself from all the negative qualities and conduct. At the same time, whatever little he knows, he propagates it. At the same time, he focuses on educating himself more and more. Then that will actually enhance his tazkiyah. And the same also goes with ta'lim and education. Somebody is involved in madrasa. Somebody is involved in a darul uloom. He is always making research, educating people, educating himself. But at the same time, whatever he knows, he passes over. Da'wat and tabligh, that enhances his education. And if he's, whatever he knows, he cleanses himself, he practices upon it, that enhances his ta'lim and his education. Each one of these three missions of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is most important. If a person is focused in any one of these three missions, and according to him, that this is the only mission. For example, if somebody is involved in the work of da'wat and tabligh, and he says, this is the only thing. Nothing more than that. He discards the importance of education. He discards the importance of cleansing himself internally. In terms of Shariat, this is called ifrat. This is called tafreet. It is negligence. It's incorrect. You can't do that. It is a mission of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Each one of the three are equally important. Or, if a person, he has to focus on anyone, but he supports all the others, then that is the balanced attitude. Yes, of course, sometimes from the practical point of view, it may not be possible for a person to be actively involved in each one of the three missions. Somebody is involved maybe in the khanka line. Somebody is involved in the tabligh line. Somebody is involved in the educational line. But at the same time, he supports the other two missions of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He recognizes it. He gives necessary support. That is the balanced view. And that's the view that we should be adopting. Take part in each one of the three missions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sometimes you're actively involved in one, but the other two, you support it as well. You cannot neglect it. You cannot deny it, because it falls among the missions of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Today I want to focus on the second mission of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that is tazkiyah. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. The word tazkiyah is derived from the root word zakat. Allah refers to it in the Quran al-Kareem, وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. The word zakat is also derived from the word tazkiyah. Zakat means to cleanse oneself. If Allah bless somebody with wealth, and if God, the minimum threshold of zakat in silver and in gold, then 2.5% he has to give it out. In that way he cleans his wealth. He purified his wealth. And he purified his wealth externally and internally. Allah refers to it in the Quran al-Kareem, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَّهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. Allah uses two words for that. He tells to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, take the wealth of the people as zakat, and in that way, to tahiruhum, cleanse them and purify them. The wealth will be externally purified, the wealth will be internally purified. these two angles of tazkiyah. To clean a person's self from within. One is to clean yourself from wrong aqidah, wrong belief, wrong philosophy, and wrong ideologies. A person can never progress in the field of suluk and tasawwuf if the person got wrong aqidah and belief. The most important thing, the core for our spiritual progress is having correct aqidah and belief. If a person got correct aqidah and belief, now you can move forward. But if you don't have correct aqidah and belief, you can make any amount of mujahada, you can give any amount of sadaqah, you can read any amount of Quran, you'll never progress the slightest bit. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in the hadith, he speaks about a qawm, he speaks about the nation referring to a khawarij. They will read the Quran the Kareem, but the Quran the Kareem will not even go beyond their throats. And in the hadith they have been described, what we would know, or would describe a person to be like a Sufi. Their head will be shaved, their outward appearance will be like a pakka Sufi. They will recite the Quran al-Kareem. You will enjoy the recitation of the Quran al-Kareem. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned that the Quran will not even go beyond the throat. And they will come out from deen faster than when you throw a spear at an animal at a speed. How the spear goes into an animal and comes out the other side, faster than that they will come out from the fold of Islam. The most important thing, if a person wants to make spiritual progress, is for a person to have correct aqidah and correct belief. We are from the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We follow Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam according to the way explained to us by the Sahaba of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ata ala ummati kama ata ala bani Israel hadwa al-na'la bin na'l. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that a time will come upon my ummah that what were the condition of the previous ummah, my ummah will follow and imitate the previous ummah exactly in the same way. حَتَّى أَنْ كَانَ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَتَى أُمَّهُ عَلَانِيَةً لَكَانَ فِي أُمَّتِي مَنْ يَسْدَعُ ذَلِكَ. If in the previous nations, there was a person that openly, immorally approached his mother, in my ummah there'll be a person just like that. We think about it to be very immoral, but Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that this is going to be the reality. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, the previous ummah, Banu Israel, there were 72 different groups. In my ummah, there'll be 73. Kulluhum finnar. Everyone will go in the fire of hell, with the exception of one. The greatest concern of the Sahaba was the eternal salvation. After you die, what's going to happen? When we meet Allah, what's going to happen? Am I going to go into Jannah? Am I going to be saved from the fire of Jahannam? That was the focus of the life of the Sahaba. Immediately they asked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that who is that one group that will be saved from Jahannam going to Jannah? Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. The path on which I am and the path of my great illustrious Sahaba. The most important thing is to correct our aqidah. And the second aspect of tazkiyah is to mold our character and our conduct in a most beautiful way. And this is also from the mission of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just as Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to rid the people from wrong aqidah, wrong belief, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also came to mold us, our character and our conduct in the most beautiful way. And this is also understood from one hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where Allah speaks about that, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ. Allah sent. In explaining that, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, بُعِسْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِبَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And according to the riwayat of Masnad Ahmad ibn Hanbal, بُعِسْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ أَحْسَنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. That Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent me to beautify most beautiful character, the perfect, most beautiful character. What is husn akhlaq? What is good character? We talk about it, we hear about it, we probably will give advice to the next person that put your character right. But what is the reality? What is husn akhlaq? Ulama advise, they define husn akhlaq as when a person is put in a challenging situation, when a person is put in an uncomfortable situation, something that you don't like, and you contain yourself and you present yourself in a most beautiful way. So how you deal with a challenging situation and how you deal with an uncomfortable situation in the most beautiful way, that is called husna akhlaq. And this is understood from the Quran Kareem. This definition of husna akhlaq is understood from the Quran Kareem. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem in the 24th Juz, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who is more beautiful in speech than that person that invites towards Allah? If people are engaged in different type of speech, somebody is advertising the business, somebody is talking about his skill and his power, and then there's another person that is telling that come towards Allah and the Rasul. So who is better in speech than that person that calls towards Allah and the Rasul? And then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, that وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا سَيِّئَةُ. There are two ways a person conduct himself. One is good and is bad. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا سَيِّئَةُ. Good and bad, both can never be equal. Good is good, bad is bad. Bad can't be equal to good. Both are totally different. And then Allah says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. The word idfa refers to that how you repel a situation and how you would take control of a situation. It suggests an uncomfortable situation. When a person is faced with an uncomfortable situation, you are faced with a challenging situation, how you contain yourself. So Allah is saying that billatihi ahsan. You are uncomfortable. Don't get emotional. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Contain yourself. And turn the table around and you present yourself in the most beautiful way. If somebody is conducting himself in a sayyi'a way, in a bad way, you don't conduct yourself in that way. Allah refers to the effect of that. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَذَاوَ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. If somebody got enmity for you, don't like you, he coming and talking to you, he presents a funny face to you, he talks harshly to you, and if you contain yourself, and whilst he's showing you a funny face, you're putting up a smile. Whilst he's showing his pride and arrogance, you are humble. Ma, sorry, I didn't know that. He expects you to also show your masculine strength in front of him. But you don't do that. You humble yourself. The effect of that, Allah says, is that the person that who has enmity for you, because you contain yourself and you turn the table around, that the person will become your close bosom friend. It's human nature. That when you are proud and arrogant, and somebody has to show humbleness and humility, you'll even feel bad about yourself, that how did I conduct myself? Look at that person, in such a nice way he conducted himself. What I thought of that person is not like that. This is what, when this ayat was revealed. So, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, what's the tafsir? What's the commentary of this ayat? What does it mean, idfa' billati hi ahsan? That how do you repel in a most beautiful way? So, Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasallam went to Allah, came back and told to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that look, when you're faced with three uncomfortable situations, you contain yourself and you conduct yourself in a more beautiful way. Sil man qata'ak. Wa'fu amman zalabak. Wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. Jibreel alayhi salam told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is what it means. Now look at this hadith. There are three situations. Each one of these three is an uncomfortable situation. The first one deals with family. Somebody breaks ties with you. They're not good with you, broke up with you. And we know the sensitivities that go around family relationships. We know how uncomfortable it becomes. Because we are close to family, we are flesh and blood, and then we get some negative attitude from there, it's more painful than the relationship from outside people. But Nabi Kareem, Jibreel alayhi salam told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam, a family person who breaks up, silman qataq. You maintain it. Now, this hadith is easier narrated than said. Easier narrated than practiced. Very easy to narrate this hadith. But when the reality comes, where you have to contain your nafs and practice upon that, that is the challenge of a person's akhlaq. The second part, also an uncomfortable situation. Somebody oppressed you. Obviously, when you become a victim of oppression, you are going to be painful. Now, how are you going to deal with that person? Again, this hadith is easier narrated than practiced. Somebody oppressed you. Somebody made zulm upon you. You are painful. You probably may have sleepless nights. You probably may have taken tablets. You probably may have trespassed and limited so many other things because somebody has oppressed you. And when you sit back and you reflect, it's a painful situation. But when the time comes, when that person meets you, wa'afu, forgive him. So, you see, you contain yourself. And you change that negative situation into a positive situation. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. Somebody did bad to you. The third part of the hadith. Maybe in your business transactions. Maybe as a neighbor. Maybe as a person in the community. Maybe as a part of the organization. He wasn't good to you. So, one is that he wasn't bad to you, I'll put him right. That's another way. إحسان. He did bad to you, fine. That is his way of doing it. My way is the way of the Rasul. I'll make ihsan. I'll do it in the right way. And this is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to, tafsir of this ayat. Idfa' billati hiya ahsan. Fa'idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawa ka'annahu waliyun hamim. Do this. Contain ourselves. Drink our pride and our arrogance. And then see the effect we'll have on people after that. Our focus generally is on our outward appearance. In the morning when we will wake up, we are so sensitive. Firstly, we probably will brush our teeth so no foul smell come out from our mouth. We'll wash our face. And probably if you've got some dry skin, then you put some cream to cover that. And you make sure when you wear your clothes, then it is clean and it is ironed. There mustn't be any crease. Our focus is on our outward appearance. And after having groomed ourselves, we also want to confirm our grooming through the mirror. We'll stand in front of the mirror, asking the mirror, am I looking right? And when the mirror confirms it, fine. If the mirror doesn't confirm it, whatever little touch-up you need to do, you'll do that. That our focus is on our outward appearance. Allah's Rasul told us, go the extra mile. Allah, when we look at the mirror, Allahumma hassanta khalqi fa ahsin khuluqi. Nabi Kareem is telling you, look at the mirror, your focus is on your outward appearance, but don't only focus, don't make that the focus of your life. Your outward appearance is good. By human nature, you like to look good, you like to look presentable. But don't focus on your outward appearance only. More important than that is that go the extra mile, and besides concentrating on your outward appearance, ahsin khuluqi. Make dua to Allah, Allah beautify my akhlaq. Outer appearance is important, but at the same time, your inside is more important than the outside. There's so much of emphasis on akhlaq, character and conduct. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, "Inna asqala shay yuza'u fil mizani yawm al-qiyamah khuluqun hasan." When we stand in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we want to present our amal to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. What do we think that will be the most weightiest? Do we think it will be our i'tikaf? We hope so. You think it will be our tilawat of the Quran al-Kareem? We hope so. We think our sadaqah and charity? We hope so. We do good deeds and we hope it's weighty in the court of Allah. And may Allah accept it. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, let aside every good deed that you do, the most weightiest thing in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that will outweigh everything else is our akhlaq and our character. More important than your salah, more important than your acts of deeds, more important than your tilawat is when we are talking to people, relating to people, how we conduct ourselves. In one hadith, one sahabi asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma khair ma u'ti al-insan. What is the best thing that is given to a human being? Now, our focus is probably maybe, if you have a house, then you set in life. Or, if you got a nice car, you set in life. And the more later model the car is, probably in a more comfortable situation. But what is the best thing that's given to you? Or you've got probably a bank balance, and as it increases, you're in a more comfortable situation. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will ask, what's the best thing that we've given to a person? Look at the, our thinking and see how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directs our thinking. Focus not on material things. That's not the best thing. The best thing that's given to a person is khuluqun hasan. Good akhlaq, how we talk to people. And this is what we need to. Sometimes we've got some old habits. And we don't even make adjustment in our own old habits. And we don't realize the impact it's having on the next person when we're talking to a person and we are relating to the next person. We need to internalize. We need to see that where am I going wrong? Probably get a friend of yours or get somebody close to us to give observations on ourselves, how we're conducting ourselves, people. And then the person tell you that, you know, I think you can do better like this, I think you can do better like that. When you're doing like this, that this hurting a person. When you're doing like that, it's hurting the person. In that way, we will be able to perfect and correct our character. We are fasting in the day. At night we're making qiyam. That's in the month of Ramadan. But the same position that we get in the month of Ramadan, we can get in a different way out of the month of Ramadan throughout our lives. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, inna rajul la yudrik bi husn al khulq sa'im al nahar wa qiyam al layl. Or kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if a person is fasting in the day, he is making qiyam at night. Instead of itikaf, we are waking up in the middle of the night, we are exerting ourselves. It doesn't come without effort. It comes with effort. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the same position where a fasting person gets and a person that exerts himself at night and waking up to hajjud, he could get it through husni akhlaq. That's all. You meet the person, make sure the next person is comfortable. When he comes to you, he's in a negative position. And when he returns from you, there's positivity in his heart. He's more happier. He's convinced. You showed him good akhlaq and character. Without fasting, you get the sawab of fasting. Without qiyamul layl, you get the thawab of qiyamul layl. We normally would exert ourselves for qiyamul layl. We exert ourselves for fasting. And we think that we got closer to Allah. An easy prescription, husni akhlaq. How do we get this husni akhlaq? Where do we get it from? How does it come? In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, إِنَّ أَكْمَلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسُنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَأَلْتَفُهُمْ بِأَهْلِهِ. The first people that are deserving of our good character is our family people. People right around us. With outside people, it's very easy to put up a smile, to be good to them. But the people that you are most closely associated with, day in, day out, you're staying with them, you're in touch with them, the wife and the children. Look at Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's character. The husni akhlaq. You know the habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had 9 wives. And the habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day, he would go and sleep by one of the wives' house. Some of the wives, they forfeited the haq, like Hazrat Sauda bint Zam'a radiallahu ta'ala na. But generally, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the house of every wife every night. It wasn't compulsory of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu voluntarily did this. So one day, he went to the house of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala na. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would go to the house of any wife, it was their pride, it was their honor. They would go out of the way to serve Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu went to the house of Hazrat Aisha, and another wife, she prepared some dish. And she thought that let me send this for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. She sent it with the best of intentions. So when the servant came, the khadima, came with that pot and presented to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala thought to herself, it's Nabi Sam's turn to be with me. What right do another wife have to send the food when it's my turn to serve Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, out of anger, when the khadima was holding the pot, bringing and presenting it, hit the hand. They hit the hand, the whole pot fell off and the pot broke into pieces. Food also fell down. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was right there. Now, if it were probably you and I, Allahu Akbar, we don't know what we probably would have said. But look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this will say, contain yourself, change a negative situation into a positive situation. That is called husni akhlaq. Idfa, just the word, one word of the Quran al-Kareem defines what it is all about. Change a negative situation into a positive situation. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood. Two things Nabi Sallam did. One is, he never compromised on husna akhlaq, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never compromised on equality and justice. In terms of husna akhlaq, Nabi Kareem contained himself. He went down. He himself started picking up the broken pieces. Put ourselves in that situation. If we were there, you think we'll ever bend down and pick up the broken pieces? Probably 2-3 slaps will come out from our hands. Or some vulgar word will come out from us. Allah Rasul is an embodiment of husn akhlaq. He contained himself. He goes down, he picks up the broken pieces, and all he says, he doesn't even get angry with Hazrat Aisha, he defends Hazrat Aisha. And he says, gharat ummukum, gharat ummukum. Don't worry, your mother has been overcome by possessiveness. And the wife is possessive of the husband. My turn. Who told somebody else to send the food? So Nabi Karim actually was presenting an excuse on behalf of Hazrat Aisha. Let's aside scolding Hazrat Aisha. Presenting an excuse. Never mind, overlook her, she's overcome by possessiveness. But on the other side, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not compromise when it came to equality and justice, because that container Hazrat Aisha broke was somebody else's. So Nabi Sallallahu took a container from the house of Hazrat Aisha and sent it to the other wife. This is called husn akhlaq, good character and conduct. Hazrat Ali Taqi Osmani, Hazrat Ali Taqi, he's the author of Kanzul Ummal. So he gives a prescription. So what is the list of husn akhlaq? And what is, and the list of bad conduct is very, very long. Very long. But he says, the embodiment, you put the list, all the good things to do, if you encapsulate it in one word. And all the bad things to abstain from, if you encapsulate it in one word, it is this. Good akhlaq, you achieve it through tawazu. Good akhlaq. If you have to do it, just that is something to inculcate in us. Tawazu, humbleness. And bad akhlaq, bad conduct, it comes to kibr and pride. And look at it, from these two things, that so many things flow. With humbleness, so many positive things come in. With pride, so many negative things go out. And this is what the author of Kanzul Ummal, Ali Taqi, mentions, that the list of good is long, the list of bad is long. But to encapsulate the good, it is just in tawazu. Humbleness. And this is, humbleness means you have a haq, you have a right. You contain yourself, you just forgive, you tolerate, you overlook. And probably the most outstanding example of this humbleness and tawazu is in the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, what can be worse than the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam throwing Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam in the well? Nobody threw us in the well. Nobody deprived us from our families. Probably there were a little bit misgivings here and there. That much. Here, for years on end, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is separated from his beloved father, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And then finally, when he sees his brothers coming in a state of desperation, he sees his brothers in a state of poverty, and then he withholds his one brother, Binyamin. And finally, when they plead to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they don't know he's a brother. They don't know he's a brother. That we are in a state of difficulty, hardship, we have an elderly father. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam softened down, and he tells to them that, you remember what you'll have done to your brother Yusuf? To your brother? That's when they told to him that, are you Yusuf? Now look at, this is the first time that you're speaking about years of oppression. Immense pain, immense difficulty. What Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through. And not only him, he is feeling about his father Yaqub, what his father went through because of the pain he went through. But what he mentions to them, look at the humbleness of the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. They made a mistake. By human nature, they did it. So immediately they humbled themselves. Told Allah, لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. We take an oath in Allah that Allah preferred you over us, and we were at fault. Tawazu. We made a mistake. They told it to Yusuf alayhi salam. We made a mistake. And look at the response to that. What Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam equally he overlooks. لَا تَسْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. There's no reproach upon you. Forgive it. Whatever happened, happened. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Allah will forgive. وَوَأَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Now on both sides, it is. On one side, the people that earth, they were humbleness and tawazu. And on the other side, there was forgiveness. Tasreeb, the word tasreeb. You know, la tasreeb alayhi. There's some time when you forgive somebody, you probably will tell him 2-3 words too. Yeah, okay, you go. Because of your father, I'm letting you go. Or because, you know, you're a molsap, I'm letting you go. Had it been someone else, we'll tell 2-3 little harsh words to that person. Tasreeb means you forgive a person without saying a single negative comment. Just forgive, overlook, for the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is what we'll understand, husn akhlaq. I'll end up with one incident. Had the Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi. It was a habit, and because he is from among our akabir, and many things of islah, tasawuf, we get it from there. My Shaykh, Hadha Mufti Mahmood Hassan Gangoi rahmatullahi, the outstanding murid of Hadha Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi. So we draw from that line as much as we can to reflect on our own self. So Hadha Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi, once from Saharanpur, he went to Kandala. It was a habit when he used to go to Kandala, he used to meet all the family people. So, on one occasion, one person that was with him mentioned the incident of Hadha Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi. Then he went to meet a particular family member. There was some kind of misgiving between Hadha Shaykh and the family member. So Hadha Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi took out a hand to meet the family member. That family member made an obnoxious face, pulled his hand away. Now imagine, you giving your hand to someone and somebody pulled his hand away. That's very embarrassing, it's humiliating. So Hadha Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi was humiliated by that person. So that person that came with Hadha Shaykh Zakariya told to Hadha Shaykh Zakariya, once a year he used to go there and meet all the family people. I said, would you come here again? Hadha Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi mentioned, I'll come here again, and whenever I come to Kandala, I'll make sure I shall go and meet that person. That humbleness, that tawazu, the tolerance, that overlooking. Respected elders and friends, this husn akhlaq is something we have to observe ourselves all the time. When a person is driving a car, probably the new cars don't have that, maybe. But especially the olden days, the cars, not so old. When you're driving a car, then you'll drive it at a particular speed. And you'll make sure that in the radiator there's water there too. If there's no water and you're overspeeding, the car is going to heat up. The car is not going to function. So you're going to be careful how you're driving the car to get the best performance of that particular car. You drive the car recklessly, you're not going to get the best performance. For a short while, you'll get through a thrill. But after that, you're going to suffer the negative consequences. We also driving the akhlaq, the cars of our akhlaq. Watch it all the time. How are we driving it to get the best performance? If we're going to be reckless, then forget somebody else's suffering. We ourselves will suffer the consequence of that. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Nabi Kareem taught us this dua. Allahumma ahdi li ahsani al-akhlaq. La yahdi li ahsaniha illa an. اللهم اصرف عنا سيئها سيء الاخلاق لا يصرف عن سيئها الا انت او كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This husn akhlaq is not something you can just get it. Something you have to work. You have to work hard because you have to work on your nafs. So Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us dua that, oh Allah, you grant us, you guide us to husn akhlaq, and only you can guide us to husn akhlaq. Nobody can guide but you. And Allah, save us from bad akhlaq. Nobody can save us from bad akhlaq but you. Allah, put a husn akhlaq in every single one of us. This is something that we need to not just talk about. We need to be conscious about it. That now, when you have a mission, you are focused on something, you see it goes right. Now our mission should be, how am I talking? How am I conducting? How is somebody reacting to me? This is supposed to be the focus of my akhlaq and my spiritual reformation. Allah grant us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.